take your Bibles, turn to Daniel 9. That's where we're going to start. And appreciate everybody being here tonight. Appreciate those of you joining with us online. I mentioned this morning that I'm asking your prayers to go hungry this week. And what that means is prayer and fasting. And so somebody had brought it up. I think Todd was asking me about it today, and I thought, yeah, I'm gonna talk about that tonight. I guess you call this Bible lessons on prayer and fasting, Bible doctrine of fasting, what it's for, what it's not. So many misunderstandings about it. I did it well. We better pray. Let me read Daniel chapter 9. Let's get into the Word of God tonight, and then we'll go from there. You got your Bible there? You ready? All right. And you may want it, just for your own study, you may want to take some notes, because I've got 16 different passages of Scripture that I got to try to get in this thing. And you pray, because every time a verse comes up, my mind wants to do a whole sermon on that one verse. And so pray that I stick with the subject at hand, and then you can kind of go back on these verses and just kind of do your own study, all right? Anyway, Daniel chapter 9, it just kind of coincides with what we were talking about this morning. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So in verse 3, he said, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So I want you to notice in this verse, prayer, supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Okay? Everybody in here prays. Amen? We ask God. Nobody that I know of ever fasts and prays over the meal that they're about to eat. Amen? I mean, it just makes sense. You don't fast and pray over the Thanksgiving, over the meal that you're going to eat. So everybody prays, but there are times, the Bible calls on us to pray always, but there are times when an extra element is added to that prayer called fasting. And here it's bundled up with sackcloth and ashes, and I'm not going to examine that much, but I'm going to kind of give you the gist of it, all right? But let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to that He'd open our eyes, give us wisdom. I'll be honest with you, when I was going through this again today, I've studied this before, but I was going back over again today, and either the Lord reminded me of things that I forgot, or I learned something brand new, and at my age, I'm not sure I can always tell the difference. Whether I learned it brand new, or the Lord just reminded me of something I learned a long time ago, all right? Heavenly Father, I love You. I love Your Word. I thank You, dear God, for what it says, what it is, and the power that it has. Father, I do not need to provide the power for Your Word for these people's lives. I don't need to do that. The power is already in the Word. And Father, I'm just a mouthpiece that sometimes just blares like a trumpet sometimes. Lord, of what this Word says, the power is in the Word, and I thank You for it. God, You are going to make of Your people, through Your Word, what it is that You desire. The outcome, Lord, of Your Word, as You send it forth, Lord, is Your responsibility. It is not mine. But Father, I pray, Lord, for good results. I pray that every heart here tonight, those gathering with us online, I pray that every one of their hearts, Lord, be affected by this in some way. Lord God, that necessary things in their life, Lord, would be accomplished. Lord, that You would just turn the days, Father, of the devourer. God, that You would turn them back around, Lord, to days of plenty. Well, bless your word. Bless these people tonight. Thank you, Lord, for their diligence, their willingness, dear God, to spend some time, Lord, learning how to make their life better, how to make our church better, how to make our ministries better. Lord, just teach us all that as we labor in your word tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. All of God's people said. Now, very quickly, as I said a while ago, he sought by prayer and supplications. Everybody pray. All God's people pray. The Bible talks about pray without ceasing. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, but I don't believe that Daniel fasted and prayed 3 times a day. All right? I don't believe that Daniel went all of his life every day without eating something. All right? And by the way, Alicia told me something today that after the service, it floored me. Okay? And I want you to remember now that Michael's in Kenya right now. And we've seen it. Either he's being blessed over there and we're getting hit here, or we're being blessed here and he's getting tore up over there. Well, let me tell you something. Right now, he's over there being blessed. So when the devil figures out he can't get over there, what's he going to do? But right now, does anybody know what's going on pertaining to fasting? I know, you're the one that told me, right? Okay. It's Ramadan. You know what that is? That is Muslim. Listen to me. The Muslims spend, 40, 50, 30 days? A whole month. They don't eat from sunrise to sunset. They fast. They pray 5 times a day to a dead god, to a devil. I'll say this. Listen to me. Their fasting and prayer to a devil empowers them to launch attacks against God's people. Our own FBI and CIA knows to be watching the Muslim communities during Ramadan, because they're all got a mindset, we want to please Allah. Okay? That's going on right now. So, let's fight back. Amen? Let's fight back, all right? But anyway, as I said, God's people pray, but we don't always add the element of fasting. But I want you to notice, when Daniel was fasting, he included it with sackcloth and ashes. What does that have to do with? Very quickly, sackcloth is what? Go ahead. It's a type of cloth. Very good. Huh? A tote sack, a potato sack, we would call it. Burlap sack. Nobody in this building right now is wearing burlap underwear. Ron goes, ooh. Why? It's unpleasant and it's uncomfortable. When Daniel was praying, he was discomforting his own body. Number one, denying it food. Number two, he was humiliating himself, literally, by putting ashes on his head. Number three, he is demeaning his own self-comfort system. We wear clothes to be comfortable. Okay? We wear clothes to be comfortable. We wear clothes to that provide, some clothes just feel better than others. Be honest. You pull a shirt out of the dryer, what's the first thing you want to do with it? Put it on. Why? Oh, that feels so good. And it's gone in 15 seconds. Okay? But we wear clothing a lot of times that is comforting to us. Sackcloth, burlap sack, potato sack, whatever. That is not comfortable. And so it has to do with reducing the flesh about as far as it can go without actually dying. And what you're doing is you're telling your flesh, you go sit over in the corner while I deal with God. That's what fasting and ashes and sackcloth are all about. It is you telling your flesh and the demands of the flesh, you go sit in a corner, I'm not paying attention to you, I'm going to ignore you while me and God take care of business. Okay? Does that make sense to everybody? Okay? So that's the first thing. Now, here's what fasting is not. Turn to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Caleb, run. Get in my bag, there's a brand new bottle of Gold Peak tea. Would you run and get that for me? Okay? It has no calories. What fasting is not? Isaiah chapter 58, verse 3. And here's, and you can actually see, and you read this whole passage, you'll see that God was really getting on to him. All right? A couple years ago, I did a deal on like false prayer types and false ideas about prayer and different elements of witchcraft type things coming into the church. And there are several, thank you, there are several books written by some of these hotshot, name it, claim it type people. They've always got some kind of hook into everybody telling them that if the reason why you don't have any money, the reason why you don't have good health, and the reason why you don't have this, the reason why you don't have that with God is because you're not doing enough. You're not doing what I'm doing, and so on. And they've turned fasting into sort of a magic ritual that if you fast often enough, and if you fast like this, and if you fast this, then God is holding back millions of dollars away from you because you don't fast. But if you will fast, then God has to release all this money to you. And it really has turned fasting into something that it is never intended to be. And something I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to show you the scripture here in a minute to back it up. Do not set up in your mind that if you fast, then God will give you what you ask for. I'm going to show it to you. This is one of those things. I either learned it today, or I learned it a long time ago and forgot about it. But when I saw it, that's what hit me. And I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. Do not think that simply because you fasted and prayed the Bible way, that God has to give you what you asked for. But you guys know me. You know what I believe. He may not give you what you asked for, but he'll give you better. I'm going to show it to you. Okay? But first of all, what fasting is not. Some people say, well, I fast all the time and it helps me lose a lot of weight. Now, we're Americans. Americans need all the help we can get losing a lot of weight. Okay? But to use prayer and fasting simply to lose weight, your mind is not right. Your heart's not right. You're not guided in the right direction. Okay? There are things that are trivial that some people will use something as powerful as fasting with, and in the eyes of God is trivial. Look at Isaiah 58 verse 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? You know what they're saying here? Why, we fasted. God has to pay attention to us. You see their attitude? You see their heart? Here's what he said. Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Number one, here's what fasting is not. Do not, if you're going to fast and pray, then fast and pray. Fasting and prayer, I would not plan on going to the ball game while you're fasting and praying. I would not plan on going fishing while you're fasting and praying. I would not plan on having a family get together while you're fasting and praying. Me personally, of course, I can't avoid it. I was going to say, don't fast and pray and go to work, but that's what I do. But, and I'll tell you, like Jared, okay? Jared, I don't recommend you fast in the job that you have in, especially this coming week. It's dangerous. Okay? And let me say this. God never intends fasting to be dangerous to your body. If you have diabetes, monitor your blood sugar. If you have hypoglycemia, monitor your blood sugar. If you have medicine that requires food, okay, I would talk to your doctor first about ways that you can fast where you can either not take the medicine or whatever. God never intends to hang you over the edge of life's precipice and say, are you willing to fast now? It should not be life-threatening. Does that make sense to everybody? But look back at your Bible here. Behold, in the day of your fast, number one, you find pleasure. Number two, you exact all your labors. So let me tell you something. If you're going to fast and pray God's way, I would not plan on doing anything or much of anything else. Okay? That's what God said. Verse 4. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Number 2. Rule number 2. Fasting is not for you to use as a weapon against somebody that you don't like or somebody you're at odds with. This is not two wizards casting spells at one another to see if they can out-magic one another. It's not what it's for. Who are we wrestling against? People or spirits? There you go. Then he said, ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Do not use, number three, do not use fasting to exalt yourself. And this is what Jesus got on to the Pharisees for. You get out in the marketplaces. You disfigure your faces. You make a big announcement. Oh, you're fasting and praying. Jesus said, you've already got your reward. What you didn't want God to come down and bring His glory into your life. What you wanted was everybody to take notice of you and to see how spiritual you're pretending to be. So if that's what you're going to use fasting for, I suggest you go to McDonald's instead. You'll have better results there. Okay? So you should not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Number 5. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? Here's what God says. A day for a man, number one, to afflict his what? His soul. Fasting is about affliction. Self-affliction. Who in here has ever been really sorry about something you did? Say amen. Okay? And I'll tell you this. If you will afflict yourself in prayer and fasting, you might just save yourself from a beating from God. If God knows you sufficiently afflicted yourself. Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes? You understand that, don't you? Big stalk. And yet, it gets. What happens to a bulrush when it gets too big and high? The head gets too heavy and it just bends over and bows down. That's a good way to remember fasting. Your head's too big anyway. Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Number one, here's what it's for. Number one, to loose the bands of wickedness. So write, if you're making notes on this, write this down, okay? If the devil has you in the throes of sinful activity or a sinful mindset, fast. Fast and pray so that God can remove those bonds. To undo the heavy burdens. Number two, here's why you fast. You've been laden down with burdens so heavy you could not carry them. Emotional burdens, spiritual burdens. And then you fast and you pray. Number three, to let the oppressed go free. Either you are the oppressed or somebody you know is the oppressed. See the word press in that word oppressed? Words like depression have the word press in it. Oppression have the word press in it. Depression is an emotional weight bearing down on you that you can no longer handle with a straight and an honest countenance. In other words, you can't put up a false face anymore to people. How's it going? Oh, I'm just doing really good. Okay? When you get depressed enough, you can't smile at everybody and let them know how good everything is. You get pressed. So number one, loose the bands of wickedness. Number two, to undo heavy burdens. Number three, let the oppressed go free. And number four, and that you break every yoke. God said, is this not the fast that I called for? So if you feel like that you or somebody you know is in the yoke of bondage, you fast and pray. If you feel like you or somebody you know is in the bands of wickedness, you fast and pray. When you have burdens that are too heavy, you fast and pray. Many of you know I've shared this years in 2008. I was just going through a time, ministerial wise, personal, and I finally told God, "I'm going to wrestle with you. Me and you's going to wrestle, and God, I'm not going to be done wrestling with you until you bless me." I was going to be like Jacob. And we had a Christian school. We had daycare. And we had very lackluster church attendance. The school and the daycare had taken its toll on the church. It had taken its toll on the finances. And for years, all I wanted was a very big Christian school. It's all I wanted. And God... I was talking about this morning about you standing there while a lion devours something precious to you right in front of you. I was telling the guys on the board this a while ago. I stood and watched the devil. I stood and watched while God let the devil chew my school up right in front of me. I stood and watched it. And God let him do it. And so I went to God and I said, God, I don't care what you do. As long as you do it. You don't want me to have a school, I won't have a school. You don't want me to have this, I won't have this. God, if you want me to get out, I get out. God, if you want me to go find another church, I go find another church. God, I don't care what it is. As long as you do it. 3 days. From sunrise to sunset, I fasted and prayed in my office for 3 days. People kept checking in on me. You know, there's a big window in my office that goes into Rose's office. So if I'm in there struggling, everybody's looking in the window like, you okay? And I would tell people, I will be. What I want to tell them is, I will be if you leave me alone. No, I will be. Just pray for me. I didn't know what God was doing. I did not even know what I was asking for. I just knew that nothing ministry-wise was right. It wasn't right. And so I said, God, I'm going to wrestle with you. After 3 days, I felt relieved from the fast. 2 weeks later, I right back in it again. And I said, God, I wasn't kidding. I'll come back and I'll do this fight all over again every single time until you do something. And all it took was one more day. Shut the school down, shut the daycare down, and I'm not kidding you. 2 weeks later, I already had a camera and sitting in front of a green wall waiting to be something to be done with it. And God gave me the idea for the Watchman broadcast. That was January of 2009. Okay? Everything. See this guy sitting back here? He's been watching us now for, what did you say, 4 months? Okay? We've only known him for less than a month. And yet God, how'd you hear about us? There you go. You know what he just said? I don't know how I started watching you guys. The Holy Ghost led you. Okay? And this is what goes on everywhere. But it was fasting and praying. I had burdens on me that God laid on me. God laid the burdens on me. And I realized that the only way to get out from underneath them was to pray and fast. And that's what I did. And so you know what? I asked God to give me a Christian school. God said, well, how about I give you 120,000 sermon downloads a month plus two radio stations in Kenya. Now, he did not tell me that in 2009. He withheld that information from me strategically. But I think what I have now is a lot better than what I was asking for. You see what I'm saying? I did not get what I was praying for. I got something better than what I was praying for. So anyway, that's your four things. Now turn to Nehemiah chapter 9. Biblical doctrines on fasting. By the way, does anybody have a question on how long you're to fast? Anybody? Wow, you guys are smarter than I thought you were. Anybody have a question on how long you're supposed to fast? You know, I'm glad you asked that question. I'll get there in a minute, all right? Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 1. Now, on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. See, there it is again. He's bundled it together. Do not include with your fasting a high school dance, going out shopping for new clothes, going to a ball game. Do not associate those things with your fasting. That is not, you cannot mix self-gratification and self-humiliation at the same time. Cannot do it. If you're going to fast, then fast. If you've got to go to work, then get up and go to work and eat something. But if you're going to fast and pray, then fast and pray. Okay? Anyway, fasting, sackcloth, and earth upon them. Verse 2, and the seed of Israel separated themselves. So here's another rule. Do not fast with TV on. Do not fast and pray while you're keeping up with soap operas or the baseball game on TV or the movie of the week or whatever. Do not fast and pray while you are in some way mingling yourselves with people that are not part of what you're fasting and praying about. Separate yourself from people. Get alone. What is it Jesus told us to do? Concerning the man, the Pharisee, that was disfiguring his face, announcing to the world that he was fasting. What did Jesus tell us to do when we prayed? Where to go? Closet. Did you know I've literally done that? I suggest that you either find or make yourself a closet somewhere. Small room where you can shut the door on everybody else and it's between you and the Lord. Okay? Separate yourselves from all strangers. And stood. Here's another thing. Confess your sins. They stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. So part of your fasting and praying process should be confession of your personal sins. Even if you are fasting and praying for somebody else, deal with you first. God may have, listen to me now, God may have burdened you with somebody else's need in their life as a way to get you alone so that God could deal with you about your problems. Remember what we're supposed to do first? Pull the beam out of our eye before removing the splinter in someone else's. Okay? Stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. Verse 3. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord your God. So, Pastor, how do you spend your day fasting and praying? Number one, I pick a day where I'm not going to be burdened with everything else or involved in everything else. Number two, I separate myself. I go hide somewhere as much as possible. Now, I'm not saying it's an absolute that if you come out of the closet one time to answer the doorbell, you might as well go eat some French fries. Okay, don't worry about that. But you get the idea of it. When I fast, number one, I separate myself. I pick a day when I don't have great responsibilities. Yes, you have to diaper the kids. Yeah, they got to be fed, things like that. God understands it. Okay? Number three, when I fast, I have my Bible with me at all times. And here's what I do. I'll read the Bible for a while. Where at? Wherever. God will lead you. And then I'll read the Bible. God will say something to me through the Word. And I'll stop. And I'll pray for a while. God may be wanting me to confess something else that I really had not thought of. Or confess something again that I've already confessed 20 times that day. There's no rule that says you can't keep confessing the same sin over and over again. Amen? Good grief, I've been sorry for things now for 40 years. Okay? Get it out. In other words, I'll pray a while and I'll read a while. And then I'll pray a while and then I'll read a while. And then I'll pray a while and I'll read a while. Now here's this just me. Maybe you're different. You know what happens when I feel a hunger pain? You know what I've done? There years ago, I remember I would try to fast on certain days. We had a daycare, and lo and behold, they would make meatloaf and gravy and mashed potatoes for lunch in the daycare. And we had a gal that made the best meatloaf, made it in little muffin pans, little individual pieces of meatloaf heaven, meatloaf muffins. And I tell you what, I started fasting one day and it was meatloaf day and I didn't know about it. And the fast ended at 11 o'clock that day. I did. I went downstairs. I said, I can't do it today. What'd you bring for lunch today, Todd? That's why I went upstairs. His meatloaf. And since then, I've learned, Mike, when that hunger hits you, you know what that is? That's your flesh going, we need your attention. And what I'll do is, when I feel the hunger pain, that is a reminder to me why I'm there, and I start praying right then. Now, I'm not saying that magically eliminates my hunger pain. I'm not saying that. Because a lot of times, it's a battle against your flesh, and whether or not you or the flesh is going to win. And sometimes the more you pray, the hungrier you get. But I use the hunger pains to remind me why I'm there, and that usually brings me to pray more. Okay? That's just me. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible, but that's just kind of how I do it, all right? But this passage right here in Nehemiah 9 is a good way. Okay? They read the Bible, they confessed sins, they separated themselves. They worship the Lord. Okay? Spend part of your time in prayer and fasting telling God thank you for everything He has blessed you with. Okay? All right, now, turn to Esther chapter 4. Some of this is going to seem like redundancy, but there's always a little bit more with it. All right? Esther chapter 4, verse 1. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes, put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out in the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry. Now, he was not drawing attention to himself. There's a difference here. Look at what it said. And he came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was a great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Mordecai was not trying to draw attention to himself in the fast. He was trying to draw attention to the need of the fast. Because at this time, Haman has already issued his decree, we're going to kill every living Jew. We're going to wipe them off the face of the earth. You need to understand this. This is before Christ has been born of the seed of David. Had Haman succeeded in killing the Jews, the devil knew that it would have interfered with the prophecy concerning Christ being born of the line of David. And the devil knew it. So you watch this. You listen to this. God may have you intervene in prayer and fasting so that what he's going to bring to birth may actually come to the birth. Christ is the greatest blessing known to man. Amen? Haman almost stopped it from happening. Mordecai said, we're going to fast through this thing. And he finally convinced, and what he did was he got Esther's attention on it. And he told Esther, he said, do you think that because you're the queen now, that you're not going to get slaughtered and hang with the rest of us? You're a Jew. Don't you ever forget that. Okay? And God used Mordecai's fast to turn that whole thing around. All right? So, proclaiming a fast, like I did this morning, I'm not trying to draw attention to me or saying, look at us, how spiritual we are. I'm just telling you that with many people, there is a great need. And if one of us can do it, many of us can do it, and it'll be worth it. Okay? Now turn to Psalm 35. Here's some of the other needs of why we fast. Psalm 35, 11. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. Now, what he's telling you is, you're going to have people who are going to try to destroy you. They're going to try to destroy your... The devil will try, if he cannot kill you, he will destroy your witness. Guys, listen to me. All you men online, you listen to me. We have become aware that we have lost men out of our church. Joe Poley, David Toomey, Brother Keith, Brother Jimmy. And who's next? I don't know. God, while God has allowed these men to go on to be with Him, the idea is we've lost four men out of this church by death. And I'm telling you, if the devil can't kill you, he will destroy your witness and your testimony. He'll ruin you so that you have no effect for the kingdom of God. You think it's possible? You better. Because that's what he's saying right here. So we're fighting against that. But as for me, verse 13, as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. Now let me tell you something. Just because you're doing what's right does not mean that the devil is going to say, oh, look, they're fasting. Maybe I won't try to devour their families. Because some of the people that you pray for and work with and work among, they will turn on you. Listen, I've been in the ministry now since 1990. And I can tell you over the years, some of the very people that I've worked with, ministered to, tried to help in all these years in the ministry, they have become my biggest and fiercest enemies. And if I think that those days are long gone and over with, they're not. So I may labor among people and fast and pray for them, and they turn right back around on me and use it against me. So now look at this. Verse 14. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in my adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and cease not. With hypocritical mockers and feasts they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. And again, I've been watching lion videos, and I'm telling you, lions will steal a cub or a young buffalo while its mother is standing there lowing like that. The lion will stand there and eat that young buffalo right in front of mom and dad. And there ain't a thing that mom and dad can do about it. I'll tell you what, them lions, those devils, they have no conscience. They have no fear. Except for, I've been watching this too. Whenever there's a group of lions, there's always an adversary lion who, when this pride of lions comes on this lion's territory, this lion lets everybody know, this is mine. You better stay away. My lion is the Lord Jesus Christ, a lion of the tribe of Judah. And when he roars against the other lions, boy, they start getting scared then. Okay? So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there. Rescue my soul from my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me. Neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. So if you feel like that you have been oppressed or that people are working against you, listen. Instead of you going after them, you listening to me? Instead of you going after them, turn God loose. Amen? That's why you fast. Psalm 69, turn there. I have 6 minutes until 5, and I've got 9 more slides. Can I go over a little bit? Is that okay, Ron? All right. Psalm 69:7. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Fasting is a reproach. Like I say, it is not to be some big parade that you have. It's not to be some boastful thing. It's you're taking reproach on yourself. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. Verse 9, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Why would we fast? Do you love God's house? Do you love your church? If you love your church, you'll fast and pray for them every now and then. I'm not saying you have to do it every week. I'm not saying you have to do it every month, every day. But every now and then, it would not hurt you to fast and pray for your church. Even without me saying it to you. It's okay. I'll let you fast and pray for the zeal of this house. I'll let you do it. The reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me. Fasting and prayer is for deliverance. Deliverance. Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Fasting and prayer is to remove her power. Who's her? Who am I talking about? Jezebel, Mystery Babylon, Delilah, the strange woman. Okay? Her mouth, the Bible says, is a deep pit. Okay? You fast and pray to be delivered from the snare that she has set. And guys, she's got one laid for every one of you boys. You young boys, listen to me. Jezebel's got a trap laid for you. A snare. you find yourself being trapped by that, you fast and pray, God will deliver you. Joel chapter 2, verse 12. I like this one. Joel chapter 2, verse 12. You at least have to let me get to the part where God did not answer the fasting and prayer the way the guy prayed for it. Yet you have to at least let me get to that part. Let's see, where is that? Be your luck, it'd be right at the dead end. Yeah, it is. Okay. Let's see here. Where were we? Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore also now thus saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart and with fasting. Fasting is to get your life, or let's say your home, or your church, or your nation, turned back to God. Okay? That's what fasting's for, to get everybody turned back to God. Verse 13, rend your heart and not your garments. Remember what the Philistine does? He makes a big show about what he does. I'm rending my garments. I am fasting. Look at me. God says, I don't care anything about your clothes. I want to know, do you have a broken heart? Because believe it or not, there's some people out there who go to church who believe that simply the ritual of fasting itself brings God's power into their life. I'm here to tell you, it doesn't work that way. If it were just a ritual, well, we'd be doing it all the time. If it would bring success, it's not a ritual. Tear your heart in half. Rip your heart open. Be broken before God. That's what it's about. And let's see, rend your heart, not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. This is not a big party, this is not a big to-do, this is a solemn deal. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Watch this. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. You know one of the things that prayer and fasting does? It brings the bride and the bridegroom together. Woo! I like that. We're the bride. Christ is the bridegroom. Unless you want to brag on how many days you fasted, how many days in a row did Jesus not put food in his mouth? 40 days. So I don't want to hear you boast about how you went 6 hours one day. I don't want to hear it. Anyway, to bring the bride and the bridegroom together. Verse 17, look at here. Let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. There's that deliverance part right there. When you're sick, hey, can I tell you something? I'm going to tell you where my heart is. I think we ought to fast and pray for the president of the United States of America. You know what that man's trying to do? That man is trying to stop the heathen from ruling over this country. He's already told the people at the Paris Climate Treaty that Obama got us hooked into, we're sorry, but we're going to pull out of your deal because we don't like what it does to America. It does not have America's interest in it. And we believe that that climate stuff is a bunch of hooey to begin with. So we don't want to be a part of it. So maybe it wouldn't hurt us to fast and pray for the president. And you know what's the shame? You say, well, he's wicked, he's lost, and he's for this. And it. You know what the shame of it is? That a lost man has to stand up for Christian rights in this country more than the Christians would. Why didn't we elect a fundamental King James only Bible preacher in the White House? That's the shame of it. So the man we got I think you ought to fast and pray for him every now and then, because they're trying to destroy him. And it would not surprise me if they tried to pull a bullet in him. They did to John Kennedy. John Kennedy didn't like what the power that some people in this country had, and he tried to put a stop to it. They pulled a bullet in his brain. So let's fast and pray for the president. Amen? So we not give the heritage to reproach that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Turn to Matthew 17. Very quickly. Matthew 17. Matthew 17, 21. And the counterpart in Mark has been destroyed in all the new Bibles. That's the prayer and fasting verse in the Bible. Don't listen. You will never convince me in a billion years that the better manuscripts do not have prayer and fasting in them. You will listen. It's easy for me to know and understand that the very power that a human being has over the most evil devils in the world, prayer and fasting, has been taken out of the new Bibles. The very key to destroying the power of the worst devils there are is by prayer and fasting, and those verses have been destroyed in the new Bibles. No wonder we're giving our heritage over to the heathen. Matthew 17, verse 14. When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. Does anybody know what that word means? Can I dwell here for a minute? I learned something today. You know what the original Greek here says in this verse? Lunatic. It just says it in Greek. It actually, the Greek word actually has the word moon in it. Because luna, from a lunatic, luna is moon. And it was this idea, and I've read the commentaries. Well, the Greeks perceived that the position of the moon had something to do with people's behavior. What are you, nuts? You go over to the ER and ask them if it gets busier during a full moon. Call the Festus Police Department and ask them, do you guys have more calls during a full moon? They'll tell you, yeah, absolutely they do. But aside from that scientific bit of knowledge, let me tell you something. Okay? The moon is a representation of a spirit. You say, well, I don't believe that. Let's keep reading, shall we? For he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and off into the water. Now the esteemed scholars say, well, obviously this poor lad was epileptic. And they didn't know what epilepsy was, and so they felt like maybe it was the moon that was doing that to him. The Bible does not say that. Your King James Bible does not say that it was epilepsy. Now watch this. So, verse 16, I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked what? Now who's right? The word lunatic in English matches the Greek equivalent, where they have the Greek word for moon in that word. I couldn't pronounce it, but I looked it up. And it's not talking about a perceived idea that the moon had something to do with this poor lad's behavior. Really, it was epilepsy. That is not what your Bible says. The Bible makes it plain that the Greek and the English agree that it was a devil that had invaded this poor boy, not some disease. Okay? And he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus. By the way, the moon's worshipped in the Bible. What does that tell you? He's a spirit. Or she is, actually. Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. You know what Jesus told you? See that word, howbeit? You know what he's saying here? Faith can remove mountains. But this kind cannot be done just by simple faith. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. At times, I have perceived a wrong spirit in this church and have gone into prayer and fasting over it. At times, I have felt the presence of a very evil spirit against me. And the only recourse that I'm aware of is to go into prayer and fasting over it. And you tell me, why then is this verse missing out of all the modern Bible translations? All of them. It's like they gave everybody the gun and took the one bullet away that works. Okay? Luke 2:36. Let me just very quickly. Anna was someone who served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Now, many people will say, well, Pastor, I don't know what I can do. I mean, I can't door knock and I can't witness and I can't preach and I can't do this. Listen, there hasn't been a saved person in the history of saved persons that couldn't pray and fast. Those of you online, several of you sent me text messages today and or emails, and I want to tell you I appreciate it. You're asking, what can you do for our church? Be Anna. Serve God with fastings and prayers. You want to serve God? Let your prayers go hungry for about a day. Okay? Serve God that way. Help us out. Acts chapter 10. Very quickly, I'm going to move through this. Acts chapter 10. Cornelius was fasting and praying one day, about 4 days ago. Does anybody know what happened in Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10? Does anybody know? Acts chapter 10 is the very first time when a purely Gentile man received the gospel and his whole house was saved. Now let me ask you a question. You read this text. I promise you, you'll never see anywhere where Cornelius, before prayer and fasting, said, oh, I wish we could receive the gospel and have my house saved. He never said anything like that. The man didn't even know the gospel of Jesus Christ. Had no knowledge of it whatsoever. And yet he's fasting and praying, and God honors him by sending Peter to this man's house saying, guess what I brought with me? The gospel of Jesus Christ, and his whole house got saved that night. God unleashing the gospel to the Gentile world was brought about by prayer and fasting. Now, I'm going to say something. I hope I don't hurt your feelings. I've been pastor of this church a long time. You know what has always been a deficit here in this church? You ready? Very, very seldom do I hear anybody giving a prayer request on a consistent basis for lost people out of this church. I've been here a long time. This church, from what I know of this church, we are not known for praying for lost people to be saved. Maybe God could turn that around. Because, can I tell you something? That since we opened up our church and ministry to the internet, people have been saved all over the world. God's given it to us even when we didn't ask for it. But most of these people are people that we don't know. What about the people that you do know and you care about and you don't want to see them die and go to hell? Maybe we could start mentioning some people on Wednesday night that are lost that need to be prayed for. Okay? Let me move through this. 2 Corinthians 6. Paul said that we serve God in patience, afflictions, necessities, distresses, in stripes, imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. All of these things that as we work together for God, none of these things are comfortable. And yet, as part of our life, they're necessary in a Christian's life. Judges chapter 20. Let's see, where am I going with this? Okay, I know where I'm going with this now. I'm back on it. Judges chapter 20. They fasted that day until evening. Here's the question. How long should I fast? Well, there's several things in the Bible. You can fast from sunrise to sunset. You can say, I'm not going to partake of any food from sunup to sundown. Sun goes down, go eat a little bit. When I say that I fasted for 3 days, I did not go 3 solid days without food. I fasted from sunup to sundown. At the end of the day, I would break the fast. And the next day, I was right back in it again. Okay? This is just how God led me to do it. I'm not saying you have to do it. But some people fasted that day until evening. 1 Samuel chapter 7, 6. They fasted on that day. A fast can be 1 day. In the case of 1 Samuel 31, they fasted 7 days. 7's a good number. Now, I can tell you, I have never fasted 7 days. Never done it. But they did. So you have various times in the Bible. No one of them is right or wrong. It's just how God leads you. If you decide you're going to fast today, fast today. Pray. Get some things going with God. If you're like me, at times you tell God, God, me and you, I'm going to wrestle with you. And God says, well, you're going to release me then. And you say, God, no, I'm not until you bless me. God's ready for that one. Okay? And however long you're led to fast, fast. Now, I've been told stories from different people that, oh, they didn't eat or drink anything for 2 weeks straight. I do not believe that. I do not believe that. I think it's a boast. Considering that, I won't tell you where I heard it from, but I've heard it. I've heard people boast about, oh, we didn't eat or drink nothing for 15 days. I don't buy it. You can go 40 days without eating. You cannot go 3 days without water. Okay? Now, unless God's going to do some great miracle, and I understand that, but normally, again, God does not require that your life hang by a thread while you fast. That is not part of it. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. All right? Jesus, we know that Moses went up on Mount Sinai, didn't eat for 40 days. We know that. Those are exceptions. They're not given anywhere as commandments. And they're not given anywhere as, well, if you can last this long, God will really do something in your life. I don't believe that. I don't believe the Bible teaches that either. All right? Now, take your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel chapter 12. And am I going to end with this? I think so. Oh, yeah, that's good. Anyway, 2 Samuel 12, I'll cut it off with this. And while I will, 2 Samuel 12, while you're turning there, let me say this. Ezra, in Ezra 8:21, let me say this to you. Okay? In Ezra 8, they said, we're going to fast. So we proclaim a fast there. And they said, why are we fasting? They said, because we were ashamed to go ask the king for soldiers and horses to help us against the enemy when we had just told the king, God is going to keep our way for us. Now watch, here's what this means. They just told the king, God is going to go with us. Pastor, don't you think you ought to ask the king for some soldiers to go with us to protect us? No, I don't, because we just told the king that God's going to keep us in the way. And if we ask him for soldiers, we lie through our teeth. There's no way my conscience allowed me to do that. So here's what I'm going to tell you. I want you to think about this. Why would you ask man for something that God can do better? And here's the thing. Lost people are sick and tired of these church people bragging about how God has blessed them, and oh, how God has just poured out things to them, and oh, they just serve God, and God just takes care of everything. And then they show up for work one day and say, can you help us? We couldn't pay our electric bill last week. Can you help us out? We're just going to borrow a little bit of money from you, and we'll pay that back next week when I get paid. And those people know for it. Listen, you didn't pay them back. You stole $300 from them while you bragged about how God takes care of you and your family. You went to lost people and asked them for money. Who are you kidding? Those people, listen, they can see you coming a mile away. Amen? 2 Samuel 12. David, let me read this. David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house. Now what did God say concerning this child? He's going to die. So David then, verse 15, Nathan departed his house. The Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him and to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day, the child was born. David fasted and prayed for seven straight days. They begged him to come and eat bread with him, and he wouldn't do it. For 7 days, David never let a morsel of food touch his mouth. And he was asking God to not kill his son. Now let me tell you something. Do not think that you can fast and pray and ask God to do something that violates His word. You hear me? Don't think that you can move God so far with your fasting and praying that God, listen to me, that God will make the exception for you. Because, well, the kingdom of God can't go without you. God has to make an exception for you. Do not think that God will alter His word because you asked Him to with fasting and prayer. I don't care how long you did it. Amen? It's like that guy that came to me. Oh, Michael, won't you pray with me? I'm sleeping with another woman in our church. She's my soulmate. I want God to end this marriage. I want to end it with divorce. And she can move her away so I can move in and get married to my soulmate. Because we really should have been together the whole time anyway. That happened. A guy asked me if I thought it was okay for him to be sleeping with another woman in his church because he didn't feel like him and his wife should have been together to begin with. Listen, folks, I don't think I've heard it all, but I've heard a lot of it. And I'm telling you, don't even think that fasting and prayer is going to get you out of the trouble that you got yourself into, especially when God... You know what that's like? That's like me knowing that my mama is going to whip me. And me saying to my mama, Mama, I am really sorry. Sterling, I got the whipping anyway. Mom said, you're sorry, all right. So that's number one. Number two, don't think that God will give you everything that you asked for simply because you fasted and prayed for it for 7 days or however long it was. That's not... And if anybody wrote a book or made a TV show with Benny Hinn saying that, oh, you just... God will just release all this stuff to you. Just you fast and pray. God will pour it out to you. Do not believe that nonsense. David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. If God would have done it for anybody, he would have done it for David. But he had already told David, your child's going to die. Period. The end of it. And so what happened when the child died? Anybody know? David got up, cleaned himself up, and went and ate. And he said, what are you doing? You've been fasting and praying the whole time the child's sick. Now the child's dead. Now you get up and eat. And that's when David said, he's not going to come back to me. I'll go to him, but he's not coming back to me. Now, does anybody know? See, that was Bathsheba. Does anybody know what happened after David's child with Bathsheba died? Anybody know? David had taken Bathsheba in to be his wife. Did you know that after their first son died, which is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ at his first coming, Bathsheba conceived again, another child. Who was it, Alicia? Solomon. The greatest king the planet Earth has ever known was Solomon. Same mama, same daddy. God did not give David what he asked for. He gave him better than what he asked for. Don't you ever forget that. Okay? You may have to deal with the consequences of your sins. No amount of praying to God will take that away. But God's still good. And He will give you a Solomon. He may not give me the Christian school that I wanted. But what He's given me, I wouldn't trade it in for nothing. I wouldn't. And you just mark that down, people. Okay? Maybe you're not going to get, we don't have a name for the first child. Maybe you won't get that one. But you wait. See what God does with the next one, okay? That's, by the way, Solomon, always a picture of the second coming. Because he had 1,000 women, right? That's 1,000-year reign. This millennial reign of Christ. Okay? Let's stand to our feet. That's good, isn't it? That's good. It'll help you. We're gonna package this up and make a book out of it, and we'll make it available to everybody for their love gift of $49.95. Just kidding. You know what God charged me today to get this message? Dying. So we let everybody have it, all right? This week, I've just asked you to join with me. I'm not going to tell you how long I'm going to fast. I don't know how long I'm going to fast, okay? But just join with me, all right? Or replace me when I fall out, okay? come take my place. Anyway, our church could use it. Right now, I'm not asking God to give me anything. Right now, I'm asking God to let me keep what I've got. Okay? That means a lot to me. So y'all help me out, all right? Heavenly Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for this word. This Bible is so good. It's so rich. Lord, I'll never, never get done exploring the depths and the beauty. Father, what you showed me today, Lord, I stand in awe of it. God, it's powerful and it's right. Thank you, God, for teaching me how to pray. Thank you, God, for teaching me how to fast. Thank you, God, for listening to me. Thank you, God, for helping me. Thank you, God, for forgiving me. And Father, I pray, dear God, many more days will come, Lord, when your people will be required to fast and pray. Devils, evil devils, very powerful devils, are going to come at us, and we won't be able to just with faith cast them aside. We'll need to pray and fast. Father, I pray, dear God, that you would help us as a church to restore that weapon to some people's lives, Lord, that the new Bibles have taken it out of their hand. And God, that these devils will prevail no longer in their lives. Thank you, dear God, for this book. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us, Lord, to prevail. Teach us to wrestle with you and win. Teach us, Lord, to be like the widow who went to the unjust judge often and just aggravated him enough to where he finally just said, I got to get her off of my case. Father, you're not the unjust judge. And yet, Lord, I believe how you yearn for your people to just pray and pray and pray and pray until you move in their life. Teach us, dear God, not to be satisfied with defeat. Teach us how to win. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. I love you. You're dismissed.